Good morning, 26 before the hour on Wednesday. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. John Harper, Glenn Leverins. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up before the top of the hour here on Morning Air. Just a week ago, we were talking about how you pray and how you prepare yourself to receive Holy Communion, and so many beautiful stories from so many of you right across the country as you prepare to receive Eucharist. Father Ed Broom is going to pick up the conversation right now. He's an Oblate of the Virgin Mary and a priest at St. Peter Chanel in Hawaiian Gardens, California, and the author of Total Consecration Through the Mysteries of the Rosary and From Humdrum to Holy. Father also blogs at fatherbroom.com today, talking about how to receive Holy Communion to the fullest. Father Ed, good morning. Welcome back.
Great to be here again.
We had tremendous witnesses when we were talking about this last week, about that preparation and those moments just before the host is placed on our tongue and in our hands. And one of the central themes that came up from our callers last week, Father Ed, was the fact that they have been able to participate in every element of the Mass to prepare themselves better for receiving Eucharist. Thus, the rest of the Mass has become much more meaningful to them.
Yes, in my article, the first point I made is the faith in the real presence. And we have to constantly renew our belief that when the priest lifts up the host and he consecrates the host, it's called transubstantiation, that really and truly substantially, Jesus is present in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And, you know, we learn in catechism, but sometimes we forget. So it's a good idea to keep renewing and fortifying our faith in this great mystery of our Catholic faith.
And speaking of that renewal, how do we renew ourselves to focus on the graces that come from the reception of Eucharist?
You know, I think it's a good idea to do a good spiritual reading to nourish our mind. I just finished a mini course in theology in our parish, and one of the things I was talking about was the documents of Vatican II. You've got the four dogmatic constitutions, De Verbum, Sacrosanctum Concilium, Gaudium et Spes, as well as Lumen Gentium. And Sacrosanctum Concilium is the dogmatic constitution on the Mass, and I think every well-educated Catholic should read that. And once you read that, you really understand how sublime is the mystery of the Mass. You know, here in California, we've got a retreat house in Alhambra with the Carmelite sisters. And there in the sacristy, there's a plaque that says, "Priests, men of God, celebrate this Mass as if it were your first Mass. Celebrate as if it were your last Mass. Celebrate as if it were your only Mass." So I think that sometimes we can lack to appreciate this sublime gift that Christ has given to us.
How can we help our children who have gone through preparation for First Holy Communion and may still be going through CCD classes? How can we help our children to remind them that the reception of the Holy Eucharist is the actual reception of Jesus himself?
You know, about 8 or 9 years ago, a movie came out in the public cinemas, and it's called The Greatest Miracle, in Spanish, El Gran Milagro. And it's only about 70 minutes, and it's claymation. And when I give retreats to the parents and the children, I'll often have that as kind of the focal point. I'll have the children, the parents. I'll give an hour talk on the Eucharist, and then the catechist will give talks to the children. And then after that, we'll bring them together, and they'll see this movie in which they explain the Mass basically from the very beginning until the end, explaining it. The children are there watching the guardian angel come and explain the different parts of the Mass. And when the host is lifted up, you can actually see the host, and you can see the face of Jesus in the host, so that these little children, they're keenly aware of the fact that it's not simply a piece of bread, but it's really the body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. Then after I do that, I'll expose the Blessed Sacrament for about a half an hour, and I'll lead prayer, then I'll end up with benediction, with incense and the bells, and from that I'll celebrate Mass. So after a talk on the Eucharist, seeing this movie, The Greatest Miracle, having half hour of adoration, and then after that celebrating the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I mean, they have to get at least something after that.
Father Ed Broom is joining us this morning on Morning Air. We're talking about how to receive Holy Communion to the fullest, and Father Ed has written about this for Catholic Exchange, which we'll share on our Morning Air Facebook page. Over the last couple of days, Father Ed, we've been talking about unpacking the beautiful gift of humility and the grace of humility as well. How does Eucharist help us unlock that grace of humility?
You know, one thing that I've said lately is when we receive the Eucharist, We all know those words, body, blood, soul, divinity of Christ. But in a real sense, we have a mind transplant. St. Paul says, put on the mind of Christ. And after that, he says, you have the mind of Christ. But in a real way, not a metaphorical way, but a real way, we really receive the heart of Christ. Last month, we were celebrating the month of the Sacred Heart. And tell our people, you look at the image of the Sacred Heart, which many of them have in their homes. But when you receive the Eucharist, you receive also the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you have the most sublime and noble sentiments. The only time that Jesus describes his heart is in Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30. And he says, I am meek and humble of heart. So when you receive the Eucharist, you're receiving the heart of Christ with all the most sublime virtues, and we're struggling for holiness, but the short path to holiness is contact with Christ. Contact with Christ in his mystical body. The mystical body, of course, is in the church, and we're sanctified through the sacrament, so a worthy reception of the Eucharist will fortify within us all the virtues. The greatest virtue, of course, is charity. But also humility is a very important virtue, because we recognize by humility we have to just depend upon God and not upon ourselves.
Father Broom, many of our Relevant Radio listeners have great devotion to St. Faustina, have read her diary. What can we learn from Faustina to help us receive Jesus better in Holy Communion?
It's interesting, because over the past couple of years, I've been giving a talk in the diary Friday nights, and I take one number and I'll usually spend about an hour explaining it. Maybe our listeners are not aware of the fact that the book has 1,828 entries, so there's a lot. And it's divided actually into six books. But the sixth book, which is the shortest, is only about 25 numbers. And what you have in the book is the way in which St. Faustina Kowalska prepares herself to receive the Holy Eucharist. And an example that she gives, and this is in 1804 to 1828, is the example of the bride and her wedding. Everyone is aware of how much detail the bride takes before arrives at that moment of her wedding day, spending so much time and energy and even a lot of money to prepare for that wedding day. And Faustina gives the mystical parallel between the wedding bride and our soul as being the bride in which we're receiving Christ in the depths of our heart. So I really like that image, because we all know on a human level how much time and energy and preparation, blood, sweat, and tears a bride will exert to prepare for that very special day of her wedding. But, you know, even more so when we receive Christ, that's even much more important than any wedding.
And just ask the saints for a little help if you're stuck, right?
That's right. That was the next number I had, is that we should call upon the saints. The saints are models. And the saints had a great love for the church, a great love for the Blessed Mother, but also a great love for the Most Holy Eucharist. The first saint that I read when I was about 13 was Dominic Savio. And if you ever read the life of Dominic Savio written by John Bosco, you've got a chapter where Dominic Savio goes to Mass. And then Don Bosco is looking for him in class, because they go to Mass early in the morning, and then afterward they have classes all day. And he was looking for Dominic Savio. The whole morning he he seemed to have disappeared. And someone said, well, did you check the church? And Bosco said, no. So he went to church, and Dominic Savio had one foot on top of the other, his arms crossed, and he was in a Eucharistic state of ecstasy for about 4 hours, and he was only about 13 years old. And think how easily we have difficulty in spending 4 to 5 minutes in Thanksgiving. This teenager was in a Eucharistic ecstasy for 4 hours, and when John Bosco came and said, Dominic, the Mass, but why haven't you gone to class? And he said, the Mass already over. So he was so absorbed in what he had received, which is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ, that he'd lost contact of time.
That's so beautiful. What a beautiful witness. And Father Ed Broome will give you many more suggestions on how you can receive Holy Communion to the fullest. We'll share the link from a piece that Father Broome did for CatholicExchange.com on our Morning Air Facebook page. Father Ed Broome is an oblate of the Virgin Mary and a priest at St. Peter Chanel Parish in Hawaiian Gardens, California. Are you staying safe with the earthquakes? Have you felt any, Father?
Yeah, we had a couple last week on Thursday and Friday. Yeah, it's... I think we have to think that God sometimes sends earthquakes to wake us up spiritually.
Yeah, we've had those spiritual earthquakes in our lives. Thanks be to God with the Holy Spirit at work. Well, continued prayers for the safety of you and all of those in California affected by the earthquake. Father Ed Broome, thank you as always. Thanks for being on Morning Air.
Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you, Father Ed Broome, this morning. It's 15 before on this Wednesday morning. If you ever look at the life of a monk and you wonder, well, how did they do it? Well, coming up next, we'll give you 5 ways that you can live like a monk without actually being one. Plus, Glenn's Story Corner coming up here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Good morning, Wednesday morning at 12 before the hour. It's Morning Air on Relevant Radio, the Relevant Radio app. John Harper, Glenn Leverins. Glenn's got a fresh story corner coming up in just a few minutes. And how many times have you prayed for some peace and silence? And of course, we know that we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and those whispers in that silence. And you'd say, if I could only have a life like a monk for 5 minutes, for a day, whatever. Well, now you can. 5 ways to live like a monk without actually being one. We'll get the tips from Father Paul Scheller, who's a Benedictine priest and the vocation director at Conception Abbey in Conception, Missouri. Father Paul, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
And we should first start with that silence that we all pray for but seems to elude us, right?
Absolutely.
And how do you do that? How do you cultivate silence in your life if you're just going in a million different directions?
Sure. Yeah, for a monk's life, it's nice because it's built into the schedule. There's different periods of time where we're not necessarily expected to speak. Most of the meals that we have are in silence, and then there's different places and spaces throughout the monastery that are where we keep silence. So I think that everybody has to think, how do we properly apply that to our own life, and what would that look like? For many people, most of their days are very hectic, you know, with getting kids ready for school and different things like that. And so trying to carve out some time, especially maybe at the beginning of the day or at the end of the day, is very important, at least to kind of have those hinge points of the day to really connect deeply with God. And then as a result and a fruit of that silence is to continue to find God, even in the midst of the hectic and chaos of the rest of the day, that we can still be present and keep our heart kind of peaceful and recollected.
We've heard from many of our Relevant Radio listeners, Father Paul, that they use the sanctuary of the automobile. That's usually their quiet time. And yes, they'll pray with the Relevant Radio app, and that they've found that as a great way to deal with traffic and all of the aggravations of a long commute. Daily prayer. You talk about getting up a little bit earlier to have that silence, that block of silence in your life. What would your recommendation be to build in daily prayer into your schedule?
Yeah, I think that we can sometimes get caught up in the midst of so many activities and not really take a consistent and maybe at least a 15-minute time of prayer for a deeper conversation, for a meditation and stuff. And that's why it's important to do that earlier rather than later in the day, because it's so easy for something to be able to put off till later and say, well, I'll do this later, I'll do this later, and then we never get around to it. And it seems like the evil one is very good at trying to tempt us in that way and saying, you know, we can do this later when we don't. So I think that sometimes first thing in the morning, taking a little bit of time, even maybe with your cup of coffee, to pray with the scriptures or just to be able to sit still and start your day with prayer, with praise and thanksgiving, whether that's, you know, turning to the Psalms or just turning to the scriptures, doing some Lectio Divina and that prayerful reflection on the scriptures. But yeah, as you said, for many people, it can be in their automobile, whether it is raising their mind and heart to God through a Catholic radio station or other Catholic podcasts that are very helpful, or if it is just praying the rosary in the car, that can be a great blessing to sanctify the day.
Father, with all of our electronic superpowers that we have anymore, do we almost need to give ourselves permission to be quiet and not productive?
I think that's the real struggle. It seems as if we always have to fill our time each day, and we think that unless time is spent accomplishing some sort of goal, that it's wasted. And I think that's kind of the big lie right now with the society. I mean, obviously, we all know how attractive and tempting technological devices are for doing even, you know, many good things. But I think we have to sometimes step away from that and see how, as much as they enrich our life and make it more efficient, there's many ways where they detract from our life and don't allow us to kind of come to a deeper realization of our heart and how God is showing us his love at many times throughout our day.
At 7 before the hour, we're talking with Father Paul Scheller, who's a Benedictine priest and the vocation director at Conception Abbey in Conception, Missouri, showing you 5 ways that you can live like a monk without actually being one. And I would think, well, at least for me, I'll speak for myself, one of the biggest obstacles would be, well, okay, you're in this community. You've got this great community. You've got the support network there. A lot of us don't have that support network. How do we get that support network to form that authentic community around us to help each other on the path to heaven?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Being associated with a community or a parish community, or whether maybe there is a monastery, you know, near where people live, to have some kind of connection to know these people are praying for me, and that's a real sense of consolation. But to take those or to make those efforts to connect with others on a deeper level, to be able to reach out and say, you know, I see we're both intentional about deepening our faith. Let's get together and, you know, maybe do a Bible study or just to spend some time engaging one another personally. Because I think a lot of times our conversations do tend to be on a superficial or surface level, but everybody is deep down inside longing for a little bit more substance in their conversation. So gathering together with those where we can share our faith, I've always found that when faith is involved, those relationships and those friendships are far deeper when we can share our values and our desire for God.
Father Paul, picking up on that point, we have a couple of minutes remaining here. Talk about building in that sacred reading, that Lectio Divina, every single day. And a theme, thanks be to the Holy Spirit, executive producer of this program, a theme that has emerged over the last week is also the beautiful gift of humility. Connect those two dots for us, please.
Absolutely. So I think when we reflect on the Word of God, if it's done in a prayerful and intense way, it calls us to this continual conversion of life, where we're always seeing how is God calling me to grow and strengthening me through my relationship and experiences. So being able to reflect on the Scriptures and see how they continue to speak to us, or even reading and reflecting on writings of the saints, can be a great way to draw inspiration that can nourish us throughout the day. And in that, we see our humility is really our dependence on God. And we see our right relationship with God, how we're a creature, we're not God, but that then it helps us to be honest in our life and truthful in our relationships. And so I think the Word of God continues to shape us in that way when we spend that time to listen and to sit still and to hear how God is at work in our life.
And that's when we see that beautiful gift of humility, 5 ways to live like a monk without actually being one. Great spiritual direction this morning from Father Paul Scheller, who's a Benedictine priest and the vocation director at Conception Abbey in Conception, Missouri. And we'll share this article that Father has written for CatholicGentleman.net up on our Morning Air Facebook page. Father Paul, what a great way to start the morning. Thank you so much for your time. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you.
And our time now is 4 minutes before the hour. Later on this morning, Father Albert Hass is with us. You remember him from Spirit and Life. He is our Wednesday spiritual director. Dave Durand is our success coach as well. That's all coming up. But first, here's a brand new Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called The Power of Solitude by Steve Goodyear. Herman Melville's classic Moby Dick portrays the whaling industry of his time. In today's world, his book may likely upset readers who share more enlightened attitudes about the use and abuse of animals, but a scene in the story can teach us even today something about the power of solitude and focus in daily life. Melville gives us a turbulent scene in which a whaleboat scuds across the frothing ocean in pursuit of a great white whale. The sailors are laboring to keep the vessel on course in a raging sea, every muscle taut. They labor furiously as they concentrate on the task at hand. In Captain Ahab's boat, however, there is one man who does nothing. He doesn't hold an oar, he doesn't perspire, he doesn't shout. He is languid, utterly relaxed, quiet, and poised. This man is the harpooner. His job is to patiently wait for the moment. Then Melville gives us this sentence. To ensure the greatest efficiency in the darts, the harpooners of this world must start to their feet out of idleness, not out of toil. What a marvelous picture for effective living. Those who would live each day to the fullest must prepare for them from a state of idleness rather than toil. For many people, this means a daily period of quiet and meditation to focus, plan, or pray. Self-help expert Brian Tracy calls it an indispensable daily time of planning and preparation. He suggests we devote a full hour of alone time every morning. That's when we set our daily priorities, so we, not events, are in charge of our lives. I don't have time for that, some complain. My life simply is too busy to add one more thing to it. But most people find a regular period of solitude to chart the day's course. Still the mind, listen, and prepare actually creates more time than it takes. We are most effective when we start to our feet out of idleness and not out of toil. From Mark 1:35, and in the morning, a great while before day, he rose and went out to a lonely place, and there he prayed.
Glenn's Story Corner podcast is on our continuously updated Relevant Radio app. And if you have a story for Glenn, morningair@relevantradio.com. That's morningair@relevantradio.com. And another thank you again. You know, we've talked about humility so much over the last couple of days. Thank you again for all of the prayers in my recovery from my prostate cancer surgery, which has been successful. Thanks be to God. Prayers answered. You stormed heaven with prayers, and I thank you for that. And I'm slowly getting to all of the emails that you sent with your prayer intentions and requests, and I deeply appreciate that. But when you're recovering, and for those of you who have gone through any kind of recovery, and maybe you're in that right now, it really teaches you what humility is and the dependency on someone else, because you always think, oh, I can do this myself, I can do this myself. And then, you know, God just gives you that little nudge saying, you know, maybe you should just, you know, sit down for a while and let somebody else take care of you. And, you know, he tells you that in the fatigue that very often sets in for those of you who are recovering from any surgery or a major illness. But thank you so much for your prayers. We go live to Rome for the Pope's General Weekly Audience. That and more in the next half hour. Father Albert Hass is our spiritual director as we continue on Wednesday, July 10th, 1 minute before the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.